he's not afraid, or she's not afraid to say, this isn't really making me happy. I'm reconsidering my job. Once that ball got rolling, I think the smart leaders saw the wave, you know, and things are changing and we have to step up because people matter. People want to feel seen and heard, and then everybody deserves to be seen and heard. Everybody has that right. It doesn't matter which side of the, you know, the chair you're sitting in. And I think in order to keep people comfortable and thriving, then you need to know that both need to know that the other cares to some extent.
Hello, everyone. It's Ella, host of Lifelong Learners Collective. I have an incredible guest with me today. Super excited to share. She's got a very inspiring story. She's been featured on Oprah. She's a TEDx speaker. She's been on Good Morning America. I have with me Miss Genevieve Pichuro. She's also, like I said before, TEDx speaker. She's an author and the founder of the Drama Program, which she's going to talk about on the show. So, Genevieve, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ella.
So great to have you. Go ahead and introduce yourself. Tell your story, what you're about.
I will. I'd be happy to. Well, I was a corporate exec for a long time because I wanted to be Mary Tyler Moore, or her character, Mary Richards, who was a leader in the television business, and she was a woman. And she really worked her way up the corporate ladder, and I wanted to be her. I would sneak down and watch her late at night. And I just thought she had such a glamorous, successful life. And I wanted that too. And 12 years in New York City, in the TV world, which was so exciting. And, you know, I really thought I was making it. I had a moment and I heard a voice come from deep in me, you know, and I'm pointing here to my chest because it was really a heart voice, which I didn't learn till later. But I knew there was something odd about it because it wasn't the jabber of my mind that I was very used to. It was a soft voice and it came from a deeper place. And it asked me a question that changed everything. This voice in me asked me, if this is the next 30 years of your life, is this enough? And I really took a couple of seconds to steady myself because I had been running so fast to be, you know, this TV executive, to have the life. I was single so that I could have a workaholic life and have the things I wanted because that was success to me. But I never thought about what it felt like other than, you know, the exuberance of, you know, of this workaholic, exciting life in the entertainment business. And that moment made me really feel in my heart, if my heart was full. And I didn't know all of this in the moment. I just realized that there was a reason for this mysterious question and that the answer was no, it wasn't enough if I was going to do this for the next 30 years. And I all of a sudden had a fear of feeling empty at the end of the day, even though it was busy. And I automatically remembered this TV news segment where police or social workers together actually were taking children out of a home because they were being hurt. And I didn't know where they were taking them, but I immediately brought that memory up because I know it had an effect on me as it does to so many of us who watch those news segments. And I wondered, where are they taking those children? Just like I wondered that night when I saw the clip, it came back to me. And I had the urge to call the police and ask them where they take these children. And they explained that there are emergency shelters and the kids are safe there until they can find a relative or something, a better place until the judges rule and the whole process. And I had another urge to call and see if I could go and spend some time with the kids. And I did. I followed those urges. And I was welcomed into those emergency shelters. And I read stories to the children to keep them calm. And I knew they were safe there, but it was not a home. You know, they were surrounded by loving individuals, but not a mom or dad. And it was so foreign to me. And I just read week after week. I could tell by the looks on their faces and what they were wearing that they were, you know, just safe, but they weren't in a homey, loving, comforting place that had clothes that fit them and, you know, people listened to them all the time. So when I followed one night after I had story time and I saw where they were going to sleep at night, it broke my heart because they were together, two or more on a futon or on a cot, and they were in the same clothes they'd been brought in wearing. Some of them were crying, and it just brought back my mom and memories that I had of her at my bedside and my sister's bedside, my brother's. And to me, it was all wrong. But what stood out was that they were in their clothes and we had pajamas, and it was such a loving time. And this was such a hard time for me to watch. I could imagine how they felt, the kids. And I asked if I could bring pajamas, and I did the next week. And the response from one little girl who was so afraid to get close to me and take anything from me, after everyone took their pajamas, she wouldn't. And she whispered to me after a little gentle coaxing, she whispered, "What are pajamas?" And Ella, that was the moment that changed everything.
Man, what are pajamas? It's, you think about it, pajamas are so special. You think about Christmas pajamas, matching pajamas.
Yes.
Think about the comfort pajamas. I mean, Victoria's Secret and Soma are selling pajamas for $70 now because the comfort aspect of pajamas. So it's more than just something to wear to sleep in. It's something that reminds us of comfort. And where do you wear pajamas? Your house. Well, some people wear pajamas outside the house, but that's a different conversation. But
right.
Wearing pajamas has a sense of security to it.
That's right.
And to think that there are children out there that don't know what pajamas are, don't have a lot of children don't have beds to sleep on.
That's right. That's right. Or, you know, or somebody loving who has the peace to sit with them. You know, the whole bedtime experience is so, like you said, comforting. And it means mom or dad or grandma will be there in the morning, and I'm okay, and I'm safe, and I'm comfy. And, you know, I hope I have a dream, and I don't want these kids to have nightmares. It's a whole slew of reasons that bedtime is comforting at such a vulnerable time.
Very much so. And you talked about, before founding the pajama program, that you had that corporate job, that successful life. You had 25 years as a marketing executive, something that everybody works for and is told to dream about their whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And what strikes me in that is a lot of times you can have what society tells you you're supposed to have and still not be happy.
Yes.
Still not feel fulfilled.
Yeah, right. That was success to me growing up. You know, that's when I was told to get a good job.
Get a good job. And you listen to the voice within, which not everybody knows how to do.
Yeah, I didn't know either. And I didn't go looking for that. Nobody ever said the word purpose to me. I still didn't know it was purpose, you know, until much later while I was immersed in this growth and seeing the results of other people wanting to help and seeing the kids and feeling what I felt, then the word purpose meant something. But I didn't grow up with people having, you know, telling me we have to find a purpose. Everybody has a purpose. I didn't.
Oh, well, and you now have found your purpose. Talk about the evolution of the pajama program, how it's grown over the years.
Yeah, first it was me, and then I met a great guy, and we got married, and he, you know, he helped too, and officially 2001, when I didn't know what I was doing except giving pajamas to kids, and when so many people wanted to help and started to ask for our 501c3s to give me grants, I realized I have to make this a real organization, you know, which I didn't know how to do. And of course, I found help and did that. and more than 8 million pajamas across the U.S., chapters all over the, you know, all over America. And it's going into 24 years now. And I'm just so proud of everything and everybody and who's been part of the growth, because like you and I were saying, they got what pajamas mean. It's not the material.
It's not how the pajamas are made. It's how you feel when you put your pajamas on.
Yes.
It's time to relax. It's time for bed.
Yes. So after 20 years of running it, being founder and executive director, I learned that the story I would share would have an impact on people who also were doubting that they had their purpose. And I think COVID brought that out more. So I wanted to pass the baton, and I did, as executive director, to one of the women who was the president of our board. And I said, I'm going to be on purpose part two and take this hopefully inspiring story to other people who are now thinking, I wonder if I can make a move. And it's scary. You know, changing your path is not easy. It's overwhelming, depending on what you have in your life and what's going to change and who else you talk with in your life and what they're, you know, what the fallout's going to be with them. It's not easy. And I want it to be that inspiration, even though it's a big move for most people. I just wanted to say, but there's no better move. You won't ever be in a better place. There's no reward when you get to the other side, like living on purpose.
Living with purpose. How many people do you talk to on a daily basis or just on a regular basis that are kind of in that catch 22 in their life? It's like, okay, I've got everything I wanted. I've got this family to support. And I've got this job, you know, the job is providing stable income, but there's something else I want to do.
Yeah, a lot more than ever. So a lot more women than men, but men too. And I would say that 40-ish age, if you're 20 years old now, you probably have heard find your purpose. And hopefully you have every intention of doing that before you take any old job. And then that's very good, because then you're starting out knowing you have to love and you have to feel that this is your calling. And then those of us who are in a job for 10 or 15 years, those are the majority of people that want to make a change. And then a lot of people retiring, they say, okay, I'm retired. They retire not 75, maybe they're retiring 55. And then they figure, okay, chapter two is purpose.
Chapter two is purpose.
So remember, they grew up in the atmosphere of stay at a job till you get the gold watch.
Mm-hmm. Well, my generation's told, okay, you have to get a good job, you have to go to college, you have to get this degree, and once you get that degree, you got to climb up the ladder. So it just feels like a constant climb, climb, climb. Mm-hmm. And then you get to a certain goal or you get to a certain degree, and it's like, okay, you just have this much more responsibility. Mm-hmm. We're expecting this much more out of you. And no matter where you're at, it can feel, a lot of my friends say they're in a hamster wheel.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Yeah.
And that's true. I have friends who change the trajectory of their careers in their late 30s.
Mm-hmm.
Just because they're ready for something different. And for me, just recently, I found that I do a lot of volunteering.
Mm-hmm.
I need to. It's not being asked of me. It's no longer a requirement for my scholarship or it's what she said, purpose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you want to feel that you're bringing, it's a lot to do with ourselves, but it's also a lot of what am I contributing? How am I helping people? There's an amazing feeling when you're serving. you know, when you're helping, when you're making a difference, those moments or minutes or hours are life-changing, especially if you've not felt that for 10 years. You know, you show up to work and it's like nobody cares, or they, you know, it's not really an emotional tie you have with anyone. It's just, I report to you, you report to that person, get the work done, 9 to 5, can't wait to get home. It's not valuable or meaningful to us. And I think that, again, COVID really brought that to the forefront. We had a scare. We had a near death.
I feel like, too, since the pandemic, companies are being more conscientious with outreach, wanting to do things to help others. My company is tremendous in, you know, they do mission work. They work partner with a lot of local organizations to help children, adult. I mean, just everybody. I was super impressed by that. I'm seeing that a lot of companies too. I volunteer for a nonprofit, and a lot of companies come to us, say, hey, we want to help. We want to help. Because they want to be a part of the idea. They want to be a part of the change.
Right, right. But I want to say, finding your purpose has nothing to do with starting a nonprofit. That's what happened for me. But finding your purpose means get a high-paying job, but love what you're doing. You know, I mean, it has nothing to do with you have to sacrifice, you have to work in a nonprofit. You don't. You can, if you love numbers and you want to be an actuary or you want to be a CPA and you love it and you make $1 million or more, go for it. You know, if, whatever you want to do, it's not a nonprofit thing. It's a heart-fulfilling, meaningful way to serve. And you are serving no matter what you're doing, if it's your purpose. You could be making boxes for people to, you know, organize themselves, to help them move to a new phase of, I mean, there's so many, you know, there's so many companies that have a real purpose that are not nonprofits, and that's great.
Yeah, I totally agree. I feel like my company's like that. They help people, but they're a profitable organization. And then they use some of the profits to help people. It definitely helps me get up and go to work every day and get excited about what I'm doing.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah, when I know I'm helping others. And even the podcast, it's like, okay, this is an independent show. I'm getting to interview some amazing guests like yourself. Mm-hmm. They're getting to share all this information, and this information is free.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And we appreciate the invitation.
Well, thank you. I'll talk about what's next for you. So you just became a TEDx speaker and got invited to, it's January 29th when it came out?
Yes. I just did the second one. I did one during the pandemic, which it's still considered a TEDx. It's still out there, but they put everybody who was supposed to do one live on hold because of the pandemic. And then they kept thinking the pandemic's almost over, so just hold on. But of course, it went longer than we thought. So at one point, they just said, okay, everybody do them in your own home and get a videographer and we'll review it. And if it's okay, we'll put it out as a TED Talk. So that's what it is. I'm standing in front of my office. So it's not, you know, it's not the way I always imagined it. But this one is. This one I did January 29th, and it should be out in the spring, released by TED. Yeah, and it's called How Do You Become a Voice That Moves the World?
Whoa.
So it's for leadership.
I love it. And you've had leadership experience just pretty much the whole duration of your adult life.
Yeah. And you know, I've seen bosses, and now I'm happy to say I see leaders.
Seen leaders. And leadership, tell us about the difference between a leadership and a boss. Not a leadership, but a boss.
Yeah, well, I had bosses for the most part, and I think a lot of people can relate to sitting around a conference room and one person talks and everybody takes notes and gets assigned their task. It's usually not an open discussion unless the boss asks you a question. Maybe the top tier has a conversation, but for the most part, you're told what to do and you know what's expected and you report back. More of a one-way conversation or a question-answer. That's how I grew up, and that's what I expected. So that's how my father had his boss. But it's a conversation more now. I mean, there's more respect when a leader honestly cares. And you can tell. You can tell when a leader takes the extra time and steps to learn a little bit about what he or she can do better to, yes, add to the bottom line, but also to make everyone feel that they're contributing something that they want to contribute. You know, everybody's different. Instead of just doling out tasks, you know, their leaders are having conversations about what that person wants their contribution to be at the company. And hopefully that happens in the interview. So it's not later than you're hired. It's right at considering being hired that you find out what there is in common. And it's an honest conversation. And I know that a lot of candidates are going in saying, what are you doing for the community before I say I'm interested in working here?
It's like, how can I help you? And it's a total difference when you're working for someone that is vested into your future. It's like, like you help us, we'll help you. I'm seeing more of that synergy in the corporate world these days.
Yes.
And that's just, I think that's been a change that has been for the better overall. Do you think that's happened more after the pandemic?
Yes. Yes. Because I think we all went in, and those who were most honest spoke up first, and then other people woke up and said, you know what? Me too. He's not afraid. She's not afraid to say, this isn't really making me happy. I'm reconsidering my job. Once that ball got rolling, I think the smart leaders saw the wave, you know, and things are changing, and we have to step up because people matter. People want to feel seen and heard, and everybody deserves to be seen and heard. Everybody has that right. Doesn't matter which side of the, you know, the chair you're sitting in. And I think in order to keep people comfortable and thriving, then you need to know that both need to know that the other cares to some extent.
People don't know. Where people don't care what you know until they know how much you care.
Yes.
I had a really good coworker tell me that. He said, when you go in, you make a presentation, let them know that you care about them, about their goals, their wishes. Because people don't care what you know until they know how much you care.
Yeah. That's true. That's very true. And I don't think anybody ever asked questions like that in the hiring process 10 years ago, 20 years ago.
Yeah, that's one thing somebody told me that I'll never forget. And even, you know, as a millennial, that going through the corporate world, just seeing how the typical interactions and office trajectory just changes throughout the years, and especially after the pandemic, which the pandemic sounds like a doomful time, but I do see it as a time for personal growth for many people. This podcast was born during the pandemic because I wanted to find a purpose. It's like, okay, yeah, I'm paying my bills. I've got a great community with me. I've even volunteered here and there. I was like, I'm going to do something else. Like, there's something. And it was like the intuition. It's like, okay, your dad was in broadcasting. You've always had an interest in it. Why not use the resources in front of you to do what you want to do? I think you're frozen.
So my book is Purpose, Passion, and Pajamas. And I wanted to write it for the longest time, but as executive director, I had no time. I tried. So once after 20 years, I passed that baton. I said, the first thing I want to do is write the book and then continue speaking. So I wrote the book because over those 20 years, people wanted to know more about the story and they wanted to know some advice. How could they do it? What was it like? Can I prep them? Can I mentor them? Can I coach them? And I wanted to do all of that. And I also wanted to start out with a foundation that was honest and uplifting and supportive to anyone who was afraid to take the leap. I teach the leap and I teach the slide, the jump and the slide. So the book is full of, it's the journey, and it's full of all the highs and all the lows and all the mistakes I made and how I fixed them, and some rules for life and leadership. I call them heart of the matter lessons.
Hard in the minor lessons that people can learn from and be inspired by to basically fulfill their own purpose.
Yes. Yes. And take that journey. If they haven't started out and they want to take that journey, how to, you know, how to do it so you're not making the mistakes I made.
What age bracket were you in? If you don't mind me asking, what age bracket were you in when you said you wanted to take that step?
When I wanted to make a change?
Yes.
I was 38.
38. I ask that because most of the listeners on this podcast are millennials in that age range. Like, you know, probably about early to mid 30s and then into the 40s.
Yep.
So I could see this really resonating with them to listen to you and say, okay, what changes would I like to make in my life right now?
Yeah. I have on my website, which is GenevievePaturo.com, there is an exercise. One of the tabs at the top is an exercise to how do I find my purpose? And you can go through that exercise. And that probably will surprise you, some of the things that will be revealed to you.
I kind of want to check that out myself.
Go for it.
See where that goes. And it's free, totally free.
Yeah, it's free. It's free. And if anybody wants to have a 45-minute conversation with me, that's free too. Just email me that you heard us talking and you want to have a conversation.
Amazing. Well, tell us how we can support you and work with you.
Well, I speak. That's my major work. So I do deliver keynotes, presentations, and workshops on not just finding your purpose, but how to be a voice that moves the world for leadership. You can see there are several topics on my website on the speakers page. There are six. For chapter two, starting out, leadership, how to reignite purpose and passion and the human connection in your organization. Topics there about leadership and how to find that alignment that we're all looking for between teams, employer, employee, groups, clients, all of that. And then there's personal coaching. And then for the teams, there are workshops and masterclasses.
Wonderful. Now, do you coach mostly speakers?
No, I coach people who want to make a change.
Coach people that want to make a change. And then you also, into their life. And then I see that you've been featured on CNN Today, Good Morning America, Oprah. I mean, you've made your mark. Definitely.
Yeah, I've been very, very blessed that people wanted to hear more and that the audience was interested. So yeah, I'm really proud of that.
Yeah, you should be. Well, thank you so much for taking time to be on the show
and for sharing with us.
Yeah, we're super excited to follow your journey, to see your next TEDx and to read your book, just to see how you're making an impact, helping people find their purpose, and to hear you speak.
Thank you. Thank you, Ella. Well, anyone, go on my website. If you want to have a chat, just connect with me.
Wonderful. So website is, and I'm going to put this in the show notes as well. It is GenevievePaturo.com.
Yep. My name.com. Yes.
Perfect. Well, thanks again. And we look forward to following along with your journey.
Thank you. Thank you, Ella.